God bless you for being here tonight. As I recall, it seems like forever that we met on the book of Revelation, but in chapter 15, I got through about verse 2 or 3 in the last time we met. I'm going to begin with verse 1, but before I do, I want to read something that was on one of the news reports I looked at this past week, the World Economic Forum. Those of you that know, if you were here on that Wednesday night when I showed the video of the world or of Charlie Kirk and being interviewed or sharing all about the World Economic Forum, the initials to the World Economic Forum are WEF. So if you see that, it's the World Economic Forum. They gave a report that says business leaders believe a catastrophic cyber event is coming. Cyber event will grow from a $3 trillion industry from 2015 to a $10.5 trillion industry by 2025. That's according to Cyber Security Ventures. The 2023 WEF, World Economic Forum, in Davos, Switzerland, and we talked about them, they met a week or so ago, has filled us with lots of uplifting predictions like how many companies will soon decode our brain waves. The latest warning is of a global catastrophic cyber event in the very near future. And so once again, out there in the news, all of these things that are predicted out there in the future, all of the things that will be coming to pass, and all of this stuff, if people only read their Bible, if people only looked at what the Bible prophesies that is going to happen in end time events, these are just a few of the things, the tip of the iceberg. Chapter 15, verse 1, John said, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels." The word seven there, remember, is the number, biblical number of completion. Seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last. In other words, these are going to be these last bold judgments upon the earth during the days of the tribulation. Because in them the wrath of God is finished. Verse 2 says, "And behold," or "and I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast," that's the Antichrist, the one world dictator that will be in the future, "and his image," remember, his image is going to be set up in the tribulation temple to be worshiped as God himself, "and his image and the number of his name," 666, which represents the number of this one world dictator, "standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God." Now let's unpack that for a few moments. John said, "I saw something like." Whenever you're given a word of comparison to somebody, we have all kinds of metaphors that we speak about in English literature, and we talk about similes and metaphors and onomatopoeia and all of those things. If you remember that back during your days, well, some of you are going, "I didn't remember 30 minutes ago, so how could I remember that?" Well, anyway, if you studied literature or taught literature, as I did, those things still resonate in your mind to some degree. John is using a comparison, "and I saw something like a sea of glass." He's trying to give you and me a description of what he sees. It's like a sea of glass. So, of course, it's translucent. It's transparent. You could see through this. Notice, mixed with fire. "And those who had been victorious," we're speaking about during the last half of the tribulation. It's called the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years. Now, he's speaking about those that have been victorious over the Antichrist and his image and the number of his name, what are these people doing? They're standing on the sea of glass. Obviously, we are told in heaven, and they're holding harps of God. These are overcomers. These are those who have overcome. They've been victorious, and they're standing there. Now, verse 3 tells us what they're doing. And they sang the song of Moses. I remember in our last meeting on this, I spoke about when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And they sang the song of Moses. What kind of song was the song of Moses? It's over there in the Old Testament. It's a song of victory. It's a song of being victorious. And they sang the song of Moses. Moses, notice we are given who the antecedent there of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb sang. This is what they are singing in the song. What does this song say? Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Now notice as they're saying these words, singing this song, as you and I sing words, as we sing various hymns, as we listen to anthems, we hear songs and we think about those words, or I hope we think about those words when we are singing and saying those words. Now, verse 4 continues this song of Moses. They're giving God Almighty praise for his marvelous, wonderful works. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Verse 4, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? Who? Notice they're asking the question in this song of Moses, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you. Notice the future tense of that. For your righteous acts have been revealed. And so this group standing there as John is trying to describe for you and me what this scene looks like. It looked like they're standing on a sea of glass. Curtis mentioned a few moments ago there in the last of the book of Revelation where it gives a great description of heaven and the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, and that city that's built four square, 1,500 miles tall, 1,500 miles wide. It's a cube-like structure. And the Bible says that holy city, New Jerusalem, is one day going to come from God out of heaven, and it's going to rest somewhere upon this earth as God brings it down over there during the in Israel's Jerusalem area over there. In verse 5, after these things, I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. Notice that there's a temple, obviously, there in heaven. After these things I looked, after what things? As this group that had been victorious over the beast and over the image and over the number of his name, they're standing there in the presence of the Lord with their harps of God, and they're singing this incredible song about the awesomeness, the majesty, and the glory of this awesome God of the universe. And notice it says in verse 6, and the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple. How are they? What do they look like? They're clothed in linen, clean and bright, and girded around their chest with golden sashes. Do you get the picture? Do you picture that in your mind? I don't know about you, but when I read something, I try to picture that in my mind, the scene and all of the details of it. Verse 7 said, then one of the four living Zoa, remember that word for creatures we looked at, that Greek term Zoa, Z-O-A, which stands for those living creatures, those four, where are they? Well, we're told in the book of Revelation, they're standing on the steps that lead up to the throne of where Jesus will be. They're standing on the sides of the throne, four of them. And then remember, the throne is encircled with an entire full emerald rainbow. Emerald rainbow. How many of you love the color of green? I want you to know, ever since I was about 4 years old, it was my earliest remembrance, I believe, somewhere around 4 or 5 years old, was one of my earliest remembrances that I chose green as my very favorite color. It's always been my favorite color. You know, a lot of times we try to give details about family members. What's their favorite movie? What was their favorite line from a movie? What's their favorite color? You know, a lot of times we don't even know that, do we, in people's family? And I think where I chose that, I'm not really sure how I chose green to be my favorite color, but I can remember when I was, I guess, 5 years old, my neighbors where I grew up, Dick and Laura Kane, which is Lynn and Randy Kane and Stacy Kane, Chris Kane's dad and mother, and Aloha made a birthday cake for my birthday. And she made this beautiful white cake, and then she took cake coloring and she colored the coconut green. And to this very day, I still remember that as vividly as if it were yesterday. But whenever you think about, now I know why I love green. I'm going to see in heaven one of these days a rainbow that encircles the throne of God, and it's an emerald rainbow. It's green. And remember who's standing there. The angels of heaven are all about that awesome company of angels, and all of the elders, which is representative of the saints of God that are gathered there. Can you only imagine this scene? Verse 7. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls. Those are like little pans, and they are full of the wrath of God. A censer, a pan. And notice in each of these pans that these seven angels are holding are the bold judgments of God. When we began the study of the book of Revelation from chapter 6 to 19, which deals with the judgments that God is going to pour out upon the earth one of these days, first of all, we started with the S judgments, the seal judgments. All kinds, remember the four horsemen of the apocalypse rode out, one on the white horse, that's the Antichrist, one on the black horse, which represents, well, one on the red horse, secondly, that represents war, and one on the black horse that represents famine and starvation and hunger and plagues, and one on the black horse, which represented death. And then we went through all of those other three seal judgments. Those are going to be happening in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then we come to the T judgments. Those are the trumpet judgments. And then we come to the bowl judgments. And these seven angels are holding these pens, and they are full of the wrath of God. Notice who lives forever and ever. Verse 8 says, and the temple was filled with smoke. I don't know if any of you got out early this morning, but I got here early this morning, and when I came, there was so much fog that I couldn't hardly see a car length ahead of me as I came from my house here to the church. When I think of that fog, I think about the smoke there that's mentioned in this verse, and the temple was filled with smoke from, where's this smoke from? The glory of God and from His power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Verse chapter 16, we'll look at a few verses here. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. Now we're going to look at these bowls, these bowl judgments, these final judgments in this last half of the tribulation. And we are going to see they're going to come in rapid fire succession, one right after the other. Notice verse 2. Remember, these angels, they've got their pens, these censers. They're fixing to what are in those pens, the last plagues of God to be unleashed upon planet Earth during this last part of the tribulation. Verse 2, so the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth. And it became I want you to get this, a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his image. This plague that God is going to send out from this first of seven angels on the earth is going to be for those who took the mark of the Antichrist. Notice, if you will, the way the New American Standard here describes it, a loathsome and malignant sore. Any of you have ever had a sore you couldn't get healed? There's a lot of people who go to the wound care at the hospital. A sore that just doesn't heal and it needs special attention. Notice, if you can only imagine, these people that have taken the mark of the beast that are forever lost and will never, ever have an opportunity in the world to be saved. Why? Because they rejected Christ. They took the mark of the Antichrist. And they have chosen him to be their God. Notice this first angel steps out and pours out his bowl upon these, and this malignant sore is relegated to the earth and put upon these that have worshiped the beast. Verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Every living thing in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl in the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. Remember when those souls that we looked at, I believe it was around chapter 5 or so through there, those souls under the altar were crying out, how long, O Lord, is it going to be before you vindicate us from those who have martyred us? I'm paraphrasing all of that. Remember that part? Well, the time has come and God's judgments are falling. Notice it says in verse 5, And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judge these things. Verse 6, for they poured out the blood of saints. For they, speaking about these that have taken the mark of the beast, for they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. Notice that. They deserve it. Verse 7, and I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Now notice that for 2,000 years, God has patiently waited to give mankind the opportunity to reach out through faith and to receive his wonderful gift of grace. But if you were in my Sunday school class this morning, we talked a lot about that. We talked about the hardness of the heart, the callousness of the heart, and why people reject. Because if you have a heart that is open to receive the truth, to receive the Holy Spirit's moving within your life, and you respond in faith to receive that wonderful gift of eternal life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But guess what? That all that doesn't come to repentance are those who have hardened their hearts. They've calcified their hearts to the degree that they are rejecting the one who died so that they could live eternally. It said in verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Any of you had a severe sunburn? Anybody had a severe sunburn? Do y'all remember those days? I can remember when we used to go out to those farm ponds. And, you know, we didn't have enough sense to know back then they had water moccasins in them. But we'd go to those farm ponds. We'd wade out in there and we'd seine minnows. And we would put on a trot line or put on our fishing line. Or we'd go out there and we would swim in those waters. Let me tell you, having the skin that I have. Any of you ever gone to Twilight Beach? I can remember going to Twilight Beach, and we were out all day long. It was a school trip, grade school. And I want you to know I fried. I looked like a lobster. My back was covered. My shoulders were covered with clear blisters. Now I'm smart enough to know that causes skin cancers. But you know, we didn't have enough sense back then to know that. And I remember my father's mother, my grandmother, Esther. She took, after milking the cow, she put that cream. You know, that's where we get whipped cream. She skimmed the cream off of the top of that milk. And she put it up in her freezer and let that just get as cold as it could be. And she rubbed that all over my shoulders and all over my back. And oh, for a few minutes, it felt so, so good. Now, I know you're going, why did you tell that story? We don't care. Well, since you ask, to go along with verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun. And it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Can you only imagine the way God has designed this world and flung the moon and the stars in these galaxies out there in their various places, and he hung them on nothing? Let me tell you, if we were any closer to the sun, you and I would burn up. If we were any farther away, we would freeze to death. And in this verse 8, when this angel, this fourth angel of seven angels, pours out his bowl, it's of the sun. And the sun will scorch men with fire. Verse 9, men were scorched with fierce heat. And notice what they did. They blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Can you even imagine? Talk about hardened hearts, calloused hearts. I've been lots of times at the heart hospitals whenever someone would be having some type of heart surgery. And I've heard many of those heart surgeons talk about the heart was calcified, or the veins were calcified, and the hardness of those. And oftentimes they have a hard time chipping away at those things and hoping that it doesn't create later a stroke in the person that's having the procedures done. But if you will notice here, these people have such a calloused, cold heart that instead of turning to God, they blasphemed the name of God. Now then, you might say, well, why on earth would they do that? Well, remember, they've taken the mark of the beast. They have rejected Christ totally. It's too late for them. And so they blaspheme the name of the Lord. Notice verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, the Antichrist, and his kingdom became darkened. And notice what the people do here. And they gnawed their tongues because of pain. How many people have I talked to in the past 2 weeks that have a spine issue, that have osteoarthritis or osteoporosis, where the bones are soft and they're brittle and they crack and they break? We've got so many people in our church that are having spine issues, back issues. One surgery right after another. Someone was sharing with me the other day, I think they're on their about 15th surgery of their back. Notice they're gnawing their tongues because of pain. They're gnawing their tongues. Have you ever gnawed your tongue? Notice, because of the incredible intensity of the pain, verse 11, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Verse 12, and I'm through here for tonight. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. That's the Orient. The Orient. Any of y'all watch this week? Did any of you watch them shoot down the balloon that China sent us? Isn't it amazing? China's so mad. Well, boo-hoo. They also sent us the Wuhan virus all over the world. And folks, let me tell you, if you're not keeping up with what's happening in the world today, you ain't seen nothing yet, according to what is prophesied here in the book of Revelation. If there ever was a time on earth where you and I can lay our Bibles open and lay down the news beside it, I guarantee you, it's this time that we are presently living in. How tragic, how sad. Somebody said to me one day, why study the book of Revelation? Here's the reason. Number one, to make sure we're ready. And number two, to make sure that we tell everybody we know about Jesus and his saving grace, so that they might not enter into this time of judgment upon the earth. What a sad picture we're given of things to come, all because mankind chooses to reject the Christ who came, who died, who shed his blood for the remission of sins and rose victoriously over the grave, ascended back to heaven, and he said, I'm coming again someday. The real question is, are you ready to meet him when he comes? In the old Broadman hymnal many years ago, there was a song, Are You Ready? Are You Ready? Are You Ready for the Judgment Day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that day to come? Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, thank you for our time tonight, for our studies. Bless us as we continue on Wednesday night in this chapter. And God, I just pray that we would be about your business, sharing with the lost, oh God, about what's coming upon this world. If there's someone here tonight that needs to give their heart and life to Jesus, Lord, speak to them, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.